This week we begin the season of Lent, a 40-day period of self-examination and repentance. To guide our meditation this year, we'll be following along in Marjorie Thompson's small book, Forgiveness, a Lenten Study. There are copies available in the church office, and I encourage you to pick one up to follow along. It's a helpful and accessible devotional guide. Thompson begins by naming how central forgiveness is in the life of those who seek to follow Christ. She says, "The Christian faith is indelibly marked by the invitation to receive and the imperative to offer forgiveness. Forgiveness is the fountain from which new life flows in a wounded, strife-weary world." I suspect we all know that weariness. Whether it's the weariness of strife in a marriage, the weariness of resentments in a family, the weariness of divisions in our community, the weariness of arguments in the office, the weariness of conflict in our country or our world, we know how exhausting strife can be. What I hope in this season we'll also come to know just as deeply is this, that following Christ really does bring new life. That following Christ really does bring refreshment. That following Christ brings freedom to our souls. So let's begin the work of forgiveness now. As we turn to the Gospel of Luke, the 15th chapter, I'll actually be beginning just a little bit before what's printed in your bulletin in this introduction to the parable. "Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, 'This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them.' So he told them this parable: Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, doesn't leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one who is lost until he finds it? And when he finds it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls all of his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance." And then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property among them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled as far away as he could to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he'd spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. And he ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father interrupted and said to the slaves, quickly, go get the robe, the best one, and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now the elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing and called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, your brother has come and your father has killed the fatted calf because he's got him back safe and sound. Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. And you have never even given me anything like a young goat so I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him? And the father said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. This is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Lord, open our hearts that we might hear your word for us this day. In Christ we pray. And let all God's people say, Amen. It's clear from the beginning who needs forgiveness in this story. The prodigal son has done everything wrong. He demanded his inheritance while his father was still alive, which is akin to saying to his father, I wish you were dead. He distanced himself from his family, running away as far as he could go. He squandered his inheritance, none of which he himself had earned, and wasted it on dissolute living, on drugs and alcohol and prostitutes and every other pleasure of the flesh. He spent his money so irresponsibly that when a famine hit, he had nothing to live on, no reserves, no backup plan to go on. He disregarded his father's name so utterly that he hired himself out to strangers in a foreign country to take care of pigs, which were, of course, religiously unclean. He was selfish, disrespectful, irresponsible, and we know people like that, don't we? Maybe some of us have even been that person. We thought if climbing the ladder of success meant we had to step on other people or buy off other people, so be it. We thought if our family's values were too strict for our bohemian lifestyle, we would do our thing anyway. We thought that we had the right to cut off the person in front of us because our appointment was so much more important than anything else anyone might have had to get to. We had the right to sleep with our assistant because we are the boss after all. We had the right to tell little white lies or memory lapses or plagiarism because our reputation was on the line. We were entitled. Or maybe we didn't even think at all. Maybe we just let our urges get the best of us with no thought of the consequences. But if that's been the case for you, and if you are sitting in this sanctuary, then you are likely to resonate with what happens next. The younger son came to himself. He remembered who he really was, not an isolated individual, but a member of a family, a beloved child of his father. And when he came to himself, he made the decision to turn around and go home to his father's house. Turning around, that is what the biblical word for repentance literally means, turn around. And perhaps you know that too. But the story doesn't end there. What the prodigal son didn't anticipate was that all that was required of him was to come home. Notice what happens. As soon as the father sees his son, the father goes running toward him. The father doesn't wait for an apology. As soon as the son starts talking, the father interrupts and tells his servants to get the cloak of honor and put it on his wayward son. As soon as the son is clothed in honor, the father sacrifices the very best, the fatted calf, and gathers the whole town at the table to honor him. And so it is with us. The father's action, this is what God's attitude is for us too. God runs to us with compassion, not even requiring an apology. God interrupts our confession and throws the cloak of honor on us in our shame. God knows our hunger even more than we do and spreads a lavish feast in our honor. And all of this not when we are obedient and praiseworthy, but precisely when we are at our most unworthy. And perhaps you've been there too. Perhaps you have been met with compassion when you have been guilty. Perhaps you have been clothed in honor when you've been ashamed. Perhaps you've been welcomed to a joyful feast when you expected to be shunned. That's how it's supposed to be in God's house. But some of us don't always like it. The older son, the faithful, hardworking, loyal, dutiful, genuinely obedient son, is appalled at his father's behavior. He becomes angry and resentful. He turns his back and refuses to go into his father's house. Even when his father comes out to him, even as the father humbles himself to beg and plead with his older son to return, to come home, to come in, the older son defies him. He feels unappreciated. All these years, I've been slaving for you. I've never disobeyed you. He feels taken for granted. You've never given me even a young goat to celebrate. He feels cheated. When this son of yours, notice he doesn't call the prodigal his brother. When this son of yours comes back, who's devoured your property with prostitutes, you kill the fatted calf for him? Needless to say, he will not like the father's answer. Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours, but we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and is alive. He has been lost, and now he's found. And I don't know about you. I can speak for myself. My guess is that we have all, every one of us, been in that place, feeling taken for granted. Feeling angry, resentful, unwilling to forgive, unwilling to forget at all. This is what I've learned. Whether or not we like it, we cannot change God. God will always be the one who shares everything with us, when we deserve it and when we don't, when we are holy and when we are unworthy. God will always be the one who loves every one of us, God's children, those who are lost and those who never left, those who are repentant of their sins and those who are resentful of the wideness of God's mercy. I can't know where you stand right now. I know my own heart at different times has careened from resentment to guilt, from shame to anger, from self-righteousness to humility. And this much I also know. This season of Lent is our chance. Our chance to look closely at our own hearts and to recognize our feelings and our failures honestly. The season of Lent is our chance to come to ourselves, to acknowledge our sins and shortcomings, to repent and turn around. This season of Lent is our chance to unburden ourselves of both the guilt and the anger we carry, both the shame and the self-righteousness that weigh us down. This season of Lent is our chance to remember, to receive who and whose we are. So I invite you now. I invite you to confess. For Christ our Lord longs for us to come home, to come to ourselves, to sit at table with him and break bread in peace with one another, even as we resist his invitation. In this season of Lent, let the stones in front of us, the stones we carry, become the image of the weight of our sin that we do hold so needlessly. The sin of our brokenness that weighs us down when we deny our guilt. The sin of our failure that weighs us down when we cling to shame. The sin of our judgment that weighs us down when we cling to our anger and carry our resentment like a badge of honor. The sin of our self-righteousness that weighs us down when we pretend that we are holier than thou and ignore our own need for grace. Each time we're unable or unwilling to forgive ourselves or someone else, it is like a stone that burdens us needlessly. For Christ came for this, to reconcile us to ourselves and to God and to one another, not for our own sake only, but that we might be his ambassadors, sent out to the ministry of reconciliation. So each Sunday in Lent, you are invited to bring a stone from home or to take a stone from one of these baskets and to name in your heart what this stone represents. And then you're invited to come forward during this time of confession to lay it down and to ask the Lord to take this burden from you as you accept Christ's ministry of forgiveness. We will watch these containers fill during this season as we name and lay down our burdens each week. And each week we will sing together a prayer of forgiveness. As Julia comes and sings this song of forgiveness, the congregation is invited to come forward and to place a stone in these glass containers on the chancel. And if you are not ready to come forward, so be it. Simply pray in silence, naming the weight that you carry that you have not forgiven or that you seek to be forgiven in yourself.